Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is produced in association with Jazz Times. The early years of vocalist Petra Van Nouts were filled with classical music, which led to her professional debut at age 11, singing with the Cincinnati Opera Company. And by age 12, she was on the road with her first national tour. Petra went on to study ballet in New York City and San Francisco and musical theater at the University of Cincinnati's College Conservatory of Music. This career direction changed dramatically when she met guitarist Andy Brown in high school, eventually married him, and began her love affair with jazz. Andy and Petra often perform and record together, and their latest collaboration, Lonely Girl, I Remember Julie, celebrates another guitar vocal duo, Julie London and Al Viola, and their album, Lonely Girl. I talked to Petra from her home in Chicago about it all. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I commented that Julie London was comfortable going deep emotionally, especially on slow tempos.
First of all, she could swing, and she did on many things too, and she could do that too, but I just think there's a certain intimacy in her voice. It's like someone once described it as furry, and I like that.
I do too.
And also, I guess I always related to her because she said herself, I have a thimble full of a voice, and I feel the same way. I don't have a lot of power, so I could relate to that. I wish I could sing like Julie London. I can't. But to me, I just think she has just such, like you said, such an intimacy. It's so real. It's right there. You feel like you could reach out and touch her when you hear her singing. Her voice is just, it like encompasses you. You know, it wraps itself around you. Her tone is just to die for. I'm a sucker for a tone, and she has the best tone of anyone to me.
And she hits those low notes,
oh,
really low. It's like a low G. Who's even singing her D? Who's even singing? What woman is singing? Well, I do.
Some
but,
do. Some do. I wish I could. She actually helped me with my transition into becoming a jazz singer because I started off doing more musical theater and I was a dancer. And I used to sing really, really high with tons of vibrato and, you know, all the ingenue parts and whatnot. And Julie was one of the first jazz singers I ever heard, and I would try to sing along with her albums, but I couldn't because the range was so low. But she's the one who helped me to lower my voice by at least a fourth or a fifth.
I mean, really?
Oh, I was way out of range of any jazz singer when I first started. It was an incredibly difficult transition because I had never utilized that part of my voice. Now it's there. I mean, I still don't sing in keys as low as hers, but I'm close. I'm, you know, maybe a step or a minor third away, but she, yeah, it was singing along with her albums that helped me make the transition in my voice. Mm. Honestly, yeah.
And she stays on those notes too, which is interesting. She'll go to this, and a lot of times you feel like you wouldn't even hear it in a club, you know, like you'd almost have to be like only dogs can hear it. It's like she really hits, but she owns those notes. And I think it does. I've said this a number of times because it meant so much to me. Renee Fleming told me that, I mean, of all the people to talk about voices, Renee Fleming. And she said that she thinks that most people love those kind of voices because they relate with them more. They sound to the uninitiated like a, quote, normal voice, a voice that has something on it, unlike an operatic voice, which everyone knows that's a freak, you know, that's not a normal way of being able to sing. So I think it does bring you in emotionally in a different way.
You've changed that sparkle in your eye. Is gone. Your smile is just a careless yawn.
You're breaking my heart. You've changed. You've changed. Your kisses now are so blasé. You're bored with me in every way. I can't understand. You've changed. You've forgotten the words I love you. Each memory that we shared, you've ignored every star above you. I can't realize you ever. I once knew. No need to tell me that we're through. It's all over now. You've changed.
That's what attracted me to jazz singing in general, because coming from musical theater and coming from singing really high and, like you said, almost operatically, like that's the kind of thing that I studied in school. And so changing my voice, that's what I loved about it. I heard a lot of the same songs, like songs from shows. A lot of standards are just songs from shows, but just sung in that more relaxed, number one, but number two, very conversational way, and in a speaking tone, and in a, like you said, a lower register, the register that you would speak in. And I even remember Andy's mom really liked Julie London, and she liked her because she could sing along with it. Mm. I think a lot of people can't sing along with really high singers.
No, they can't.
They don't have that range.
No, and I didn't realize it till somebody pointed it out to me that most of those pop singers were altos.
Exactly.
So
I forced myself to become an alto. I'm a forced
That's
alto.
That's so interesting. Did it change your voice? Did you lose anything on the high end?
Strangely, when I warm up, I still warm up really high and low. Now I just have a really wide range. I guess I always had it, but like I said, it was just completely unused. It was like this, it was lying dormant, you know, for my entire life till I started getting into this kind of singing.
It's fantastic. Well, what made you do the transition between that?
Because I just realized that it would sound, I love the sound of people like Julie London and all the people that I first got into. And I just realized that's the range that it's all being sung in. And if you sing it like the way I was singing it at first from my musical theater voice, it just sounded in this genre terrible. And I don't want to hear that. So I just tried really hard to just continue singing and utilizing that part of my voice till it finally, now it's uncomfortable to sing higher. I mean, I do it when I warm up, but I would never do it in a performance.
And what made the transition for you from musical theater, since that's what you were pursuing, the dance and musical theater, what made jazz singing more appealing?
Well, my husband, Andy Brown, who you play with. And who,
I know. You moan him to me every now and then, full disclosure.
I moan him, who you interviewed actually on this show. He played you a clip of a man named Kenny Poole, a wonderful guitarist in Cincinnati, where Andy and I met and where we first started playing jazz. And so I was basically, Andy started getting into jazz. We've known each other since we were 16, so I kind of saw the beginning and Andy's whole evolution. So he started getting into jazz and started going to hear this guy, Kenny Poole, this wonderful solo guitarist. And Kenny said, if you want to learn all the tunes, which you got to learn the tunes, you got to learn them from the singers and the singers who sing kind of straight, like Julie London, like Joe Stafford, Blossom Dearie, Rosemary Clooney, all those people that Frank Sinatra, who will sing pretty much give you the melody. So that's kind of, Andy just started playing all that stuff around our house. And I was still doing musical theater. I was often out of town. I used to do a lot of touring and dance shows and whatnot. And then I just started hearing this and I was just like, it clicked immediately. And it was like the sound I had always wanted to hear because of that thing that it was conversational and it was real. Like you're saying, it just really resonated with me in a way that I always loved singing. I love singing and dancing and performing my whole life. But that in particular, it was just real. And it was like, instead of being an actor, now I can act like myself and sing these songs from my point of view.
My mama done told me when I was in pigtails. My mama done told me, hon, a man's gonna sweetheart, he'll give you that big eye. But when the sweet talking's done, a man is a two-face, a worrisome thing who'll leave you to sing the blues in the night. Now the rains are falling, hear the train a-calling, hoo-wee. My mama done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blowing across the trestle, hoo-wee. My mama done told me, a hoo-wee, hoo-wee, clickety-clack, echoing back the blues in the night.
My guest, Petra Van Nauws, with guitarist Andy Brown, from their CD, Lonely Girl, I Remember Julie, their tribute to Julie London. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Something I learned from your liner notes that Andy wrote that I didn't know was what Julie London did for guitar players. Talk about that, because I just listened to her records, didn't really think about that was an unusual thing at the time. So talk about that.
Right. I must confess, as a singer, you're just drawn to the singing, of course. But I mean, not that I'm not listening to everything else that's going on, but Andy wrote, I asked Andy to write something. We had to write these liner notes and we each wrote a little blurb, and I was kind of impressed by that as well. And that had not occurred to me, but it is true that a couple of my very favorite singers, like Julie London and Peggy Lee, were very guitar centric. And maybe that's why Andy was playing them around the house too. And he really liked those ones because they had a lot of guitar, like Barney Kessel, of course, with Julie London, and Howard Roberts and Al Viola. So all these wonderful guitarists. So yeah, absolutely. And of course, for me, going when I was in Cincinnati, kind of coming up and getting my feet wet in jazz, just going to all these clubs and also going to a lot of Andy's gigs. So hearing a lot of guitar and then having him in my house as my as my personal in-home helper and original accompanist. So I think all my wonderful favorite singers all know the importance of the guitar. It sounds like a voice, really. It rings.
Well, and it's wonderful. I think I'm a big fan, and listeners to this show know because I've said it so many times, but I'm a big fan of duos.
Yeah.
And I know that you work, and we'll talk about your group as well, and various size groups. But there is something so special about duos. And if you're singing with one person with a guitar, that's a whole orchestra, and somebody who loves singers, and makes that all work. It really is a beautiful dance because there's only two of you to have that back and forth. So it's very, very quick, yeah. I think. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so special.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is my favorite. I love working with a group as well. And that has its own fun dynamic. That's like a party. But a duo is like an intimate conversation. And especially, right, with Andy, with the guitar, it's just such a beautiful instrument. It has so many colors. It can be, you know, especially the way Andy plays it, he can be really, you know, with a pick, you can do that whole thing and chunky, and you can do kind of very bluesy feel with a guitar. You could be very tender. You can do a lot of the harmonic work that he does that's very light and bell-like, which I think is good with voice. Like we kind of, I think it's almost the same sound in a way. Sometimes I try to mimic that sound of the guitar, and I do duos too. I do a duo sometimes with a bass player. That's really fun. And then I work a lot with a piano player. So, but I'm kind of interested. I have a question for you because most piano players, I don't think would pick guitar first. Why do you?
You know, I know, I mean, that's really true. No, and it's a great question because most don't. Mm-hmm. For me, if you have the right guitar player, that's always key. I love guitar. I love the rhythm. I like that mm-hmm. I can pull back and yeah. let the guitar take more of that. I don't need them to play time. Yeah. I can do it so I can give up my left hand. I can put it back in. And I think that's true of a number of piano players who work with guitar, because there are a few of us who
yeah,
love
there
it.
Are. Yeah.
But we usually stick with the same guitar players, that's you know, true. The ones we really like, because I've also done it with a couple people that will remain nameless who I love their playing, and we right. couldn't play together at all. Their time feel was just so not swinging for me.
Yeah.
It didn't work at all. And I could tell they weren't happy either. So that was very interesting.
Well,
so it has
yeah.
to be the right person.
It's a match. I mean, like anything else, like it's not even that you have anything negative to say about them as musicians on their own, but it's more just the combination doesn't.
Yeah. And you know, instantly.
Yeah.
It's like, I always say, it's like a blind date, you know, you yeah. show up and sometimes it clicks and sometimes you're thinking, boy, just get me through the evening.
Right. How much longer?
So I'm curious about, you and I have talked about this off mic about timbre. And I think that's one of the really interesting things about singers, because it is a history of your life. It's
ooh,
all there.
Ooh.
And some people capitalize on that, and some people sort of ignore it. And and some people will discover it and see what works really well for them. But you are drawn, one of the things that's always attracted me to you as an artist is your repertoire choice.
Yeah.
And you love these dark, sad, angst-filled lyrics and mood and all of that. But you have the happiest timbre. And it's an interesting tug for me that goes back and forth, because I think it makes it interesting. It's
hopefully
you bring a whole
it is
other
interesting.
Thing.
Hopefully it's just not incongruent, but
yeah, but that's what makes it so interesting. You hear somebody like Julie London do yeah. something cool.
Oh yeah.
And that woman sounds as miserable and that is sad. And you know, you almost can't make through the take. And then if somebody told me you were going to do that before I heard the track, I'd think, now that's going to be interesting, because I know you
yeah.
and I know that your sound of your voice, you're thinking you are the least.
Right.
You know, you'd seem the least like a person in a bar having a drink, talking about how she lost everything.
Totally.
But you pulled it off beautifully.
Thank you.
So talk about that. And this track in particular really struck me.
Oh, cool. I'm something cool.
Something cool.
I'm strangely drawn to whatever that, I guess, for lack of a better word, character is, the sad woman alone in the bar. Kind of, I like songs that have maybe like a desperation in them. I don't know. Maybe I have an inner desperation. I think underneath this happy,
this sunny mean.
Underneath this, I think overall, I'm a very optimistic person. I try to make the best of most things. And But I think part of that is because of a certain darkness and because of, you know, we've all had things that have happened. And I just, my thing was more to be a, to rise above that, to you know, to let that help me grow rather than let that define me. So I think that's the greatest for all of us humans. We all have so much tragedy in our lives, but it's how do you use that? How do you use that to as post-traumatic growth rather than, you know, PTSD kind of thing. So,
well, yeah. And that's the thing. She's in the bar. She's still there.
She's
still trying to push it through. And I think it shows a depth of recognizing that is part of life. Because I know years ago I saw Fool for Love on Broadway, and mm-hmm. it was just incredible with Jessica Lange. And it was, you know, as sad as it could be, it's just one of these really traumatic things. And mm-hmm. I was with these three very wealthy, shallow people and on a double date. And I remember I was so devastated after this play that I mm-hmm. couldn't move. Wow. I could yeah. not move yeah. because it was just so staked through the heart. And I remember they popped up and said, and looked at each other and said, wow, do you think things like that ever happen? And I was right. like sobbing, and, yeah. you know. And I think that that's what we hope that art does, that it can make people more empathetic
yeah.
and know that that kind of emotion is valid and yeah. that those kind of lives have been lived. At least that's how I take it. And yeah. you really bring us into that with that track.
Something cool I like to order, something cool. It's so warm here in town, and the heat gets me down. Yes, I like something cool. My, it's nice to simply sit and rest a while. Now I know it's a shame I can't think of your name. I remember your smile. I don't ordinarily drink with strangers. I most usually drink alone. But you were so awfully nice to ask me, and I'm so terribly far from home. Like my dress, I must confess, it's very old. But it's simple and neat. It's just right for this heat. Save my furs for the cold. A cigarette? No, I don't smoke them as a rule. But I'll have one. It might be fun with something cool. I'll bet you couldn't imagine that I one time.
My guest, vocalist Petra Van Nouse, with guitarist Andy Brown from their CD Lonely Girl, I Remember Julie. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
Whatever the emotion is, if I'm happy, I'm the happiest person you've ever seen in your life. And when I'm miserable, I'm I'm down in the depths. You know, I just, I really in my own personal life just kind of feel that I'm connected with my emotions a lot. So, and I think you have to be as an artist. If you're not, that would be like you're saying, if you saw a play like that and you were not moved, you know, I'm worried about you. Like you're out of touch with your emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
willing to go there on both ends of the spectrum. And actually when you're talking about Sunny kind of voices, it's making me think of two people that I've heard do very sad songs and who have had very traumatic situations. Well, one especially is Doris Day. And her life story is pretty dark. I mean, so many horrible things happened to her, but she's known for having this like very happy, sunny demeanor and voice. And I've read some interviews where she said almost the same kind of thing. Like she really can go to all places with her emotions. She's very in touch. She can cry on a dime if something upsets her and then be the happiest person at the same time that you've ever seen.
I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. I may be wrong, but I think you're swell. I like your style, say, I think it's marvelous. I'm always wrong, so how can I tell? Deuces to me are all aces. Life is to me just a bore. Faces are all open spaces. You might be John Barrymore. You came along, say, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand, but I may be wrong. Swear. I like your style, say, I really think it's marvelous. I'm always wrong, so how can I tell? Deuces to me are all aces. Life is to me just a bore. Faces are all open spaces. You might be John Barrymore. I think you're grand, but I may be wrong. You said that Edison would never make that light. You laughed at Mr. Franklin with his key and kite. The point of the song is I'm always wrong, but with you, baby, I'm oh so right.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Thank you. Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Joshua Redman, Bill Charlap, Kenny Barron, Joe Lovano, and more headline this year's Jazz in July Festival at the 92nd Street Y. Experience New York City's hottest summer jazz festival in person and online. Tickets at 92ny.org/concerts. Additional support for Jazz Inspired is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to Jazz Inspired on your favorite podcast platform and email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Stride Queen. Although we broadcast on NPR stations, we're an independent production, not funded by NPR. Please visit jazzinspired.com to find out how you can chip in and support us. No gift is too small. And please write a review on Apple Podcasts, which is the best way for us to entice others to listen to the show. Thanks for helping us spread the word and celebrate 22 years on air. I'm talking with vocalist Petra Van Nous about one of her favorite singers, Lucy Ann Polk.
I first was introduced to her through Rebecca Kilgore, who was also a big influence for me. Right when I was first getting into this music, I got to go to this Chautauqua Jazz Festival. And it was actually for Andy and I, for our honeymoon, we went to this festival. And I was right when I was first getting involved. And Rebecca was kind of the only singer on the whole thing. And that weekend was just amazing for me, just hearing everything that was happening. It really shaped my entire approach. But she would mention certain things on the mic, like, oh, I learned this song from Lucy Ann Polk. And that's how I got a lot of recordings I got, because when she would mention someone, I would jot that down. And who was Lucy Ann Polk, you know? So Lucy Ann Polk sadly didn't record very much. Just this is one of her only albums, Lucky Lucy Ann. But I think I was attracted to her voice because it was a voice that I could almost emulate. I think she and maybe a lot of people say that I sound like Blossom Dearie a little bit. So she and Blossom Dearie to me are like the closest people that I could kind of possibly imitate. I mean, I want to imitate Julie London. I want to imitate, Chris Connor, but I don't have that sound. So Lucy Ann Polk has the cutest to me, just the absolute most darling tone and just the freshest sound. And she had her career mostly in the West Coast. So just West Coast cool all the way. And yeah, I've kind of based my life on that album, Lucky Lucy Ann. It's just an adorable album in every way.
When I walk down the street, seems everyone I meet gives me a friendly hello. I guess I'm just lucky, so and so. Birds in every tree are all so neighborly. They sing wherever I go. I guess I'm just lucky, so and so. If you should ask the amount.
Lucy Ann Polk, a favorite of my guest, vocalist Petra Van Nous. Here's Petra with her frequent collaborator, pianist Dennis Luxian, from their CD, Because We're Night People.
There are nights when I have a little glow, the customer's generous and taking it slow. When the music sounds good, even to me, then somewhere in the room a certain face I see, and sing it just for him. But the face is gone by the second set, and the drunks begin to cry. Then I think about looking up what's his name. Either that or die. I've paid my dues, learned to sing the blues in 1,001 saloons. The owners are tough and the customers rough. In 1,001 saloons, the living is hard and the men are the same, while clouds of smoke filter into your brain. Play Frisco and baby till they drive you insane. In 1,001 saloons. Living is hard, and the men are the same, while clouds of smoke filter into your brain. Play Ipanema till it drives you insane. In 1,001 saloons.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
We have been lucky enough, post-pandemic, we scored this great gig that it's a late-night gig. We play for this, it's called the Afterglow Set, every Saturday night, 11 to 1.
Wow.
This cool club called Le Piano that's full of just like the most eclectic characters. It's like out of a movie or something. I love it. So it's the perfect setting for what we do because it's kind of... You know, we're the letdown after the fun. We're like the you've had maybe too many drinks and now you want to hear the sad ballads and put your head on the table. Or
it's 2:45 and there's no one in the
exactly.
place.
Exactly. And actually, people at this place they lay under the piano. That's like part of the gimmick. You can kind of lay under the piano and listen. And they have a bearskin rug and a pillow under the piano, so it's like perfect.
Really?
Yeah.
This is so Chicago to me. I love it. Listen, folks, this is what the cool things that are happening in Chicago. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, and I actually lay under there sometimes and listen to Dennis when he plays solos. It's like you can hear. Well, you can't do it because you play the piano, but let me tell you, it sounds different underneath the piano.
Oh,
the
no,
resonance
I,
is really
I do
nice.
Know that it sounds. People have had me sign pianos underneath, believe it or not, and then they'll play something. So, yes, I've been under my
number of pianos.
Gorgeous. I've been under a number of pianos too, Judy.
I don't know how I missed this place. This is where I'm coming next time I'm in Chicago. Continue.
Anyway, well, Dennis is just, someone recently said to me, and I really feel this way. He's someone who heard us said, "You're so lucky. It's like getting to play with Bill Evans."
That is pretty great.
Well, he just has that sound, you know, he just has that, that touch and that feel and that deep, deep tenderness and connection. And he listens so carefully, and it's no ego, and it's just about supporting what's right for the song, you know, just hearing, he listens to the words. Oh my gosh, it's revolutionary, but really in a way that I've never, I mean, it's almost scary. Someone's listening to you that much.
We were talking about, and we've been talking about singers who really deliver that intimacy, not necessarily huge voices, but huge connection to emotion and the story. And Chet Baker is certainly one of those. So talk about Chet. I know you're a huge Chet fan.
Oh, gosh. What's not to love? Say exactly what you said. Ditto, ditto, ditto. It just hits you just in the right spot. And that's one thing that's great with playing with Dennis, is because Dennis actually played with Chet for several years. Dennis lived in Europe for a while, and he played with Chet. He recorded with Chet. Chet recorded some of Dennis's original tunes, and they were on television shows together. So, playing with Dennis and his connection to Chet, I think Chet liked him for the same reason I like him. He's just very understated and very sensitive. It's hard to find someone who's that sensitive. Especially, and we can talk about this, being women, I think a lot of male players, they have to be, you know, macho when they're playing in a way or something. So Dennis isn't afraid of a very sensitive side. I think Chet wasn't either.
Saw you last night and got that old feeling. When you came in sight, I got that old feeling. The moment that you danced by, I felt a thrill. And when you caught my eye, my heart stood still. Once again, I seemed to feel that old yearning. And I knew the spark of love was still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. It's foolish to start, for that old feeling is still in my heart. To start, for that old feeling is still in my heart.
your favorite, and you've turned me on to her. And I think I must have heard her just a bit a long time ago, but haven't thought about her in ages. So talk about Meredith.
Well, that particular recording that I hip you to another time is just my number one desert island pick. I mean, it's so hard, like we were talking about, to pick one artist or one recording, but something about that recording, it's just hypnotic. It just puts you in a mood. It's the kind of recording you sink into the couch with, and you just kind of like, you relax. Her voice envelops you with its timbre and its relaxing, melancholy tone, much like your own. And it's very something about that recording also, because she plays piano, so it's just bare bones. It's like solo piano and voice. And I don't, you know, she was married to a great pianist, Eddie Higgins. So she, I don't think, although I love her piano playing, I'm sure you do too, but I don't think she fancied herself the finest piano player as much as more of a singer. But something about when she is playing piano, it's just so direct and intimate, because she's not doing a lot of fancy things. And she's not taking any solos. It's just like these really short songs. So it's almost like it's like a book or something of short stories. And it's these like little vignettes, and they're each, you know, about a minute or two long. She sometimes just sings the song once through, and it kind of just takes you on this journey through all these emotions, mostly melancholy, but different feelings. And I don't know, it's just, crack it open as a book. Everyone go out and get Another Time by Meredith D'Ambrosio right now.
Now out of the night, new as the dawn, into the this child is born, one small heart, one pair of eyes, one work of art, here in my arms, here she lies. Trusting and warm, blessed this morn, a child is born, one small heart, one pair of eyes, one word. Here in my arms, here she lies, trusting and warm, blessed this morn, a child is born.
You give me another chance to talk about Peggy Lee. I want to pursue that because you brought me a great track of Peggy.
Oh, yeah.
And she's such a favorite with jazz instrumentalists, which I find interesting. I mean, it was Dave Frischberg's favorite.
Me too.
And I've had more people. Yeah. Me too. And it's talk about Peggy and what makes Peggy so special. Because I think a lot of people would know later Peggy and would think that jazz musicians like her because, or would think everybody likes her because of all that drama and angst. And that's not what people talk about, what jazz musicians talk about. So
yeah,
talk about that.
I mean, I think Peggy, I don't understand how she couldn't be someone's favorite singer. I think she's the best. I mean, just all around best. Because she had everything going for her. And I think musicians loved her because her time was perfect. Her phrasing was perfect. Everything she did was perfect. I've had every recording I have of her, some are live. I've never heard her sing a bad note. It is unbelievable. Her intonation is insanely perfect. Everything you've seen on YouTube of her live, can't miss a note. It is uncanny. And then also just... she had the whole package. I mean, she could swing. She could sing in the most tender way. She was an amazing actress, put across a lyric better than anyone else. I just think it was the whole package. And not to mention, she was a songwriter. She was an actress. She was Academy Award nominated. I mean, she just could do no wrong, in my opinion. Everything she's ever sung is gold.
Sugar, I call my baby my sugar. I never maybe my sugar. That sugar baby of mine. Funny, he never asked for my money. All that I give him is honey. And that he can get any time. I'd make a million trips to his lips if I were a bee, because he's sweeter than sugar candy to me. Oh, sugar, I never cheat on my sugar, 'cause I'm too sweet on my sugar, that sugar baby of mine.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. My guest is vocalist Petra Van Nouse. So talk about your recording of The Meaning of the Blues.
The Meaning of the Blues is a song that was written for Julie London, specifically by her husband, Bobby Troup. And he's actually a wonderful singer.
Another cool cat.
Super cool. What a relaxed style also. He was cool enough to know she was cool. But, she had an album called About the Blues, and it was all kind of blues-related songs. And I always liked that song. And then actually to tie this back into Chicago singer Jeannie Lambert, the very first time I ever heard Jeannie Lambert, I was out at a club in Chicago, and Judy Roberts, who I'm sure you know, the great pianist and singer, had told me, you got to hear Jeannie Lambert. It was after I'd moved here. And Jeannie Lambert happened to be sitting in that night, and she stood up and sang The Meaning of the Blues. And I was like, sold, hook, line, and sinker. I love you forever. I'm your devoted fan. And that was kind of my beginning of my romance of loving Jeannie Lambert. So I kind of associate that song with Jeannie, actually, I must say, even more than Julie London, because that's one of her kind of signature pieces that every time I would go hear Jeannie, maybe not every time, but a lot of times she would sing that. But I could never touch it, kind of what we were talking about, because I felt like it was Jeannie's song, and it's obviously Julie London's song. It was written for her. But over the pandemic, when we had so much downtime, I finally got around to learning it, and then I just couldn't stop singing it. It's an amazing tune.
Blue was just the color of the sea. Till my lover left me, blue was just a bluebird in a tree. Till he said, "Forget me." always made me think of summer. Cloudless summer skies, so fresh and warm. But now the blue I see is more like winter. Winter skies with clouds about to storm. Blue was just the color of his eyes till he said goodbye, love. Blue was just a ribbon for first prize till he said, don't cry, love. Blues were only torch songs, fashion for impulsive ingenues. But now I know, all too well I know, too well I know the meaning of the blues.
So this has been great. I've been looking forward to it. And thank you for doing the show. And I'm so excited about this CD coming out,
thank
the Julie
you.
London, and your other beautiful CD that I have here in front that no one can see, but I can see I'm holding it up because we're night people.
Thank you.
But just a delight to finally get you on the show.
It's a delight to be here because I love your show. It has inspired me.
Aww.
Many times.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll see you soon.
All right. Cool. I'll be there.
You've been listening to my conversation with Petra Van Nous. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz inspires their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Heidolf. You can listen to Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired on all podcast platforms and at jazzinspired.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Casham on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is sponsored in part with generous support from our listeners and Paige at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit Paige at 63 Main at opentable.com. And please tell your friends about Jazz Inspired and help us spread the word. For more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.